Let's open with hymn number 188. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who of thy fatherly goodness hast been mindful of us poor miserable sinners, and hast given thy beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. We beseech thee, grant us thy Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd doth know us and succor us in every affliction, we also may know him, and trusting in him, seek help and comfort in him, from our hearts obey his voice, and obtain eternal salvation through the same, thy Son Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen. The Old Testament for this second Sunday after Easter is found in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, the 11th through the 16th verse. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken, and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the second chapter of 1 Peter, the 21st through the 25th verse. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Here ends the epistle lesson. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then was the Lord Jesus known of the disciples in the breaking of bread. Hallelujah. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Hallelujah. The gospel lesson for this day is found in the 10th chapter of John, verses 11 through 16. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith in the with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man,
and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 373.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you, and peace in God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the second chapter of Ephesians, the 4th through the 10th verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye have been saved. And raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, the name of our Sunday, Misericordias Domini, means the goodness of the Lord. This goodness particularly is that which is given as help, nourishment, and comfort. And it is the merciful care that God gives to us. In our gospel, Jesus describes the goodness which God has for us as he calls himself the Good Shepherd. A shepherd's entire occupation revolves around caring for the sheep, nourishing them because they cannot care for themselves. If he were to leave them, they would go astray, starve, fall to wolves. He gives his life for these sheep because he loves them. We are indeed the sheep of the Lord, because like sheep, we are helpless without his care. He loves us even though we are helpless creatures. Sometimes this Sunday is called Good Shepherd Sunday after this text, and as we hear Jesus describe his work as our Good Shepherd, we cannot but cry out, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Which is to say, let your goodness come to us, O Lord. For as it is with sheep, so it always is with us. We are not saved from wolves and fed and nourished because we've done anything to merit the favor of our Good Shepherd. A shepherd does not go through his flock examining the merits of each sheep and picking and choosing which sheep he will protect and feed, and which he doesn't like, so he's going to abandon. He would be a very poor shepherd if he did that. And so with us, it is not because of any goodness or merit in us that Jesus is our Good Shepherd. He gives us his goodness because he is good. He is rich in mercy. He is rich in love for undeserving sinners. It is the richness of this mercy which Paul describes at the beginning of our lesson. He wants us to understand how rich indeed our God's mercy is for us. But to do this in a way that we can understand, we must first understand how it is with us to know what this grace for undeserving sinners means. It is necessary to understand what about the sinner is undeserving. This chapter in Ephesians, chapter 2, begins with these words, and you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air, who now works in the sons of disobedience. And in these and the words which follow, we are forced to conclude that we begin this life as those who are hopelessly lost. We are dead in our sins. He calls us servants of Satan, enslaved even to the passions and desires of our flesh. In the next verse, he describes us as children of wrath, which means all those who await God's righteous retribution. And so if we would understand the extent of God's mercy and grace, this is where we must start. God does not begin with us while we are trusting sheep, but while we are wanderers, lost and condemned and utterly without hope, still dead in our trespasses and sins. And he does not wait until we correct our condition, because we cannot. How can a dead man do anything? His mercy begins while we are still fully in our sins, without the knowledge of God, with no love for him, or for Christ, or even a desire for his salvation. It is at this point, while we are yet sinners, that he makes us alive in Christ Jesus. As destitute and dead as we are in our spiritual nature, so much more rich is God in his compassion for us. And therefore, our lesson begins calling God rich in mercy. It is the parallel to how destitute we are in our poverty, even so much he is rich in mercy. We have often come to use this term mercy in a very sloppy way. We use the word mercy, for example, when a judge grants clemency to a guilty man because he's very sorry. But strictly speaking, mercy is not leniency. It is not God lessening our punishment or granting us a little breathing room. Mercy is love which is shown to those who are enduring suffering, whether it's bodily, mental, or spiritual. In other words, mercy is love for the miserable. As poor sinners, our misery is not just in the consequences which our sin brings upon us in this life. In other words, the natural consequences of any man's sin, whether he believes or not. Nor is it even the consequences of the sins of others around us. But it is also the dread of eternal death, which we know in our hearts that our sins deserve. All of these things, including this dread, we feel now. And it is while we are here in this misery that God has compassion and loves us. We all know how easy it is to feel compassion for those who are in need, for those who suffer hunger and poverty and homelessness, the pain of sickness, punishment for crimes that they did not commit. It is not so difficult to understand how God would feel mercy for such people as that, because we even know such mercy ourselves. Even outside the church, there are many missions of mercy to help the poor, the sick, the oppressed, and the dying. Yet, you don't normally feel compassion for the man who is condemned justly for his crimes, for the murderer, the thief, the adulterer who bears the consequences of his sin. You especially don't normally feel compassion for such a man when you are the one who has been wronged, when it is your property which has been stolen, your family member who has been killed, your spouse who has cheated on you. And yet every sin is just as much such an offense to God. He is the innocent party that is offended at every sin that every man commits, and yet it is this same God who is so rich in mercy for those who have offended him. How is this possible? Our lesson answers that it is because of his great love with which he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses. In other words, it is undeserved love. And this undeserved love is what is called grace. And so grace and mercy are related, but they're really different. Grace is not merely love to those who suffer, but more than this, it is love towards those who do not even deserve love. And so it is this kind of love which our God has shown to us. Like the sheep who have done nothing at all to merit the care and favor of their shepherd, indeed who are wandering and lost and running from him, we are called dead in these things, and if we were dead, then the love which God shows to us must be by grace alone. A man whose heart has stopped cannot pick up the paddles of a defibrillator and shock himself back to life. The only one who can bring life from the dead is he who creates life in the first place. God alone can bring life from death. This is the work which he has done in Christ Jesus. When we were yet in our sins, God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, has raised us to new life when he raised Christ from the dead. Where is this new life to be found? Our lesson says that it is ours right now. Since we are already raised from death to life with Christ, it says that we sit together with Him in the heavenly places. And it puts this in the past tense. The language is very specific. The sitting in heavenly places with Christ has happened already. It is not our future hope, but it is something that we have today. The kingdom of heaven is already among us because Christ has established His kingdom of grace among us through His word and sacraments. And we know that these words do not speak of a future heavenly reward, because once our present position in God's kingdom is declared as us sitting in the heavenly places with Christ, Paul then gives us the hope for even greater things, which will be ours in the ages to come, where we will enjoy the boundless riches of His grace and kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus speaks this very way to the Jews in John chapter 5, when He says that the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. That hour has come, and all who hear the voice of Jesus rise from spiritual death to sit with Him in heavenly places. But as to our future hope, Jesus continues, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And so you see, even now we sit in heavenly places. How can this be? It is because the goodness and mercy of God is found in His Son, Jesus Christ, and Christ Jesus is ours and with us even now. He told us so when He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." If we are in Christ, He is with us even now, and we are with Him in the heavenly places. He even gives to us His body and blood in the Lord's Supper, so that we can know just how close He is to us and how richly He still has mercy upon us and forgives us our sins. When we believe God's word of forgiveness, when we take the Lord's Supper, we are receiving the gift of salvation in Christ from God Himself, a gift which is entirely by grace and received by faith. These are heavenly gifts for a heavenly people, for we are united to our heavenly Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that can steal such a heavenly gift from us is if we were to replace the work of Christ with our own work and deny the grace which He has given us so richly and freely. And therefore, when God in these verses takes away from us any part that we might have in our salvation, He does not do this to hate us. He does this because it is the only way that He can show us mercy. If He were to grant us even the smallest part in our redemption, then we would have reason to boast. You might argue, as many have, that God indeed does most of the work, but surely He leaves just a little bit for us to do, a little bit for us to participate in our redemption. If that were true, He might as well have done nothing for us at all, because your salvation would still be entirely dependent upon that little part which you do. Because if even a little part were left to do, you still would not be saved without doing it. And that is because there's no such thing as being half saved, any more than you can half rescue a drowning man. If you throw a drowning man a rope that is 6 inches too short, that 6 inches has condemned him to death. Salvation is all or nothing. Therefore, it is nothing but God's pure grace that He has done all the work required to redeem you, even while you were dead in your sins. Because it is by grace alone that you are saved, it can only be by faith that you receive this salvation. That is, by simply trusting in what Christ has done for you in Him, in what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. And as much as people try to make it so, even this faith cannot be your own work, but must be God's work in you, because if it were your work, then you would still have reason to boast. But when God declares in these verses that your salvation is not of works, then your faith can also not possibly be your own work. And the very next verse explains it quite clearly, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He creates us. We do not create ourselves. And if then we are entirely His workmanship, how then is it with these works that we know must follow faith that He describes in this last verse? Our old Adam will always hear anything about works as a burden. And so it's tempting to hear this last word of our text as a burden, as if God gave us the gift of salvation only to take it away at the end by demanding works from us. Nothing could be further from the truth. The words are, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we should walk in them." These words lift up and praise the grace of God completely, and they comfort us thoroughly, so that we know without a doubt that our works are indeed pleasing to God when we are in Christ Jesus, because when we are in Him, when God has raised us up from spiritual death, He Himself creates in us the works that He has prepared beforehand for us to walk in. Just as our new life is His work, so are the works that we do His creation in us. Therefore, in no way doubt that God loves you. God never tells you to find the proof of your faith and salvation in your works. That is why Jesus describes what the works of Christians are like on the last day this way. After Jesus had spoken of all the good things that His Christians had done, they answer, "Lord, when did we do these things?" They did not remember them, because they were simply a natural part of their daily lives, as natural as breathing. There is but one thing and one thing only that God bids of you, and that is to receive the gift of eternal life, which is our risen Lord Jesus. That is the faith through which you are saved. And then trust what God has given you in Christ. He has actually given to you. He has promised it and He will complete it. He has given to you richly and freely the forgiveness of sins and good works and a new life and an eternal inheritance in heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Oh,
O Lord our God, how good are the things which thou hast prepared for them that love thee. Thou hast freely given to us all through thy Son, Jesus Christ. May we by faith in his name obtain those unspeakable glories which he has prepared for us in thy kingdom. We thank thee for the grace which sent Christ, the good shepherd, into the world to lay down his life for the sheep, to ransom us by his blood from the power of evil, to redeem us by his passion from the punishment of our sins, and by his resurrection to liberate us from the fear and bondage of death. Grant that we may ever abide in the green pastures and still waters of his word and sacraments. Grant unto thy church all that it needs, that it may enter in the labors of the kingdom and seek the lost sheep, raise the fallen, rescue the weary, comfort the faint, restore the erring, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, shelter the homeless, and thus in every way show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Turn the hearts of the erring away from every false shepherd, and draw them with thy pure word and doctrine, that they may be united in the one fold of thy holy church, with the only true shepherd and bishop of our souls, Jesus Christ. Let the word of the good shepherd be heard throughout the world, that in every government, in all commercial endeavors, in every college and university, in all civic life, thy Son may be magnified as men either adhere to his word or are overthrown by it. Direct our path through the sin, strife, and chaos of these times, O Lord. Grant us faith and true faith and a godly heart. Strengthen the sick, support the weak, supply the needy. Show thyself a very present help in every need. And when our last hour shall come, let our heart be fixed on thy promises. And because our eyes have seen thy salvation, let us depart in peace according to thy word, and be received into everlasting glory through Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Redeemer. Amen. We sing hymn number 437. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn 384. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.